We talk a lot in real estate about creating relationships that make people know, like, and trust us. In real estate, a lot of times people almost act like that is, like, I'm entitled to that.
Right.
Like, I'm not entitled to you know, liking, and trusting me. If I need you to know me, then I better get really aggressive in putting out content that lets you get to actually know me as a person. If I need you to like me, then I need to be willing to put out authentic content that is speaking to what you deem valuable. And if I need to you to trust me, then I better be knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm not knowledgeable, then what is there for you to trust?
Wondering what it takes to succeed in business? Welcome to the Hustle Podcast, where we share genuine stories of success and failure to guide you on your journey to achieving your goals. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Hustle Podcast. We are in Dallas. This week's episode, I have my friend, which we joke, we're pretty sarcastic, Phil Gertis, who is from Maryland. And Phil runs an awesome team out in Maryland, huge real estate background. And we're just going to get to know Phil a little bit more and your passive income, kind of your real estate journey. And I know that you're really into mindset. And I think that it'd be really cool for people listening who are in the entrepreneur space, just kind of how you guide your mindset to run an effective and kick-ass team. So take it away, Phil.
Okay.
Give us a little background of how you got started into real estate, kind of how you are, who you are today. Like,
Sure.
You know.
So first thing, I think you used the word twice, friends. strong word.
Strong word.
No, I'm joking. So
I will edit that out.
Had to just go in with that. So I have a real estate team in Maryland, like you mentioned, and we do pretty well. We're pretty successful, and I've enjoyed that quite a bit. And that's really where core business is. I've been in real estate as a realtor for the past 8 years. Prior to that, I was in direct sales for a decade. And before that, I was also in real estate. I own mortgage companies.
Okay.
So I've been around entrepreneurship, though, since I was 17. I started my first company when I was 17 years old.
Shark Tank. Hey, sharks. My name's Phil.
My name's Phil, and I need an investor. Now, I started an online advertising company.
Okay.
So I taught myself the code. I created a website, that which tells you how old I am, or a general idea, because when I was 17, you couldn't go like and create like a Squarespace website. If you didn't know how to code, you couldn't make a website.
Gotcha.
So I taught myself the code. I started an online advertising company, and then I went business to business and convinced adults to pay me to advertise on my website, which is crazy now that I think about it, because I was a nerdy little kid. And they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since then, I just caught this bug, and I knew that I just couldn't work for people in traditional jobs. So I haven't worked really for a traditional style job since then, other than 1 year. Hmm. I've always been in this space where you just got to kill what you eat. You know, and I love it. I work very well in that high, I don't want to say high stress, but I guess you could say that, but this like high pressure environment.
It's almost like you are the responsible person to get it done.
Yeah.
And it's like almost like you create your own ceiling, and you are the ceiling basically to whatever you create.
Exactly. Yeah. And then almost like, do you even have to have a ceiling?
Yeah.
Like what you touched on mindset earlier, but what is your mindset towards the ceiling, and what do you walk in saying your mindset is, and what is it going to be? And then as you grow and as you develop, are you willing to alter that? Are you willing to allow yourself to grow to a space where you realize like there doesn't actually have to be a ceiling?
Yeah. So with starting obviously 17 entrepreneur into this real estate as your main like job right now,
core business,
business. It seems like, you know, what kind of gave you that entrepreneur spirit? Like, was your family kind of in that, or is it just like you had an idea, you started it? Like,
no, that's funny. That's a great question. I'm a nerd. When we were kids, me and my family and friends had like, everyone wanted to be a rapper, and everyone had their rap names.
What was your rap name?
For me, I didn't have one. I was the manager.
Okay.
So my rap name was The Businessman.
Okay.
And I was the manager and the agent. When I was in fifth grade, I went to school with a briefcase, not a book bag. Like, I was the guy that just always knew, like, there's something different. Like, there's just always something different about me.
Yeah.
So I was just never this mindset of I'm going to be normal. I'm going to take that traditional path.
Right.
It was always going to be something where I was going to take a different route, and it's either going to work or it's not. It's going to be hyper successful or a total bust.
Totally.
But I was up for the challenge.
Yeah.
You know?
And so now, obviously, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, in Maryland, you can't just start a team, like building a team. I know that real estate's a little bit different out there.
Significantly different.
Significantly different. So stepping into real estate, being in it for 8 years, having that entrepreneur, that grind, everything like that, what was kind of what you took 17 into this business and core and what you've built? I mean, it's pretty impressive. I know you kind of talk down and say, oh, like, you know, we are like busy, but like it is really successful. You know, what was kind of like that transition that carried that into it?
I think the big deal was that when my wife and I decided, okay, this is the next phase of life for us. Mm-hmm. One of the big things was I never wanted to be a realtor.
Yeah.
And I was very clear with her. Like, I will not be a realtor, because I wasn't, when I looked at realtors, and real estate agents might hear this and be upset about it, it is what it is. I didn't feel like there was much to be proud of.
Yeah.
So I said, we're going to be business owners in real estate.
Mm.
And for that reason, we took a very different approach. We took an entrepreneurial mindset and applied it to a product that was serving clients through real estate. And that just changed everything for us. So yeah, you know, in Maryland, you have to be a solo agent or on a team for 3 years before you can start a team. And I didn't know that. You should know. So
yeah.
Day one, I planned on starting a team.
Got it.
Day one, I found out I will not be starting a team for 3 years.
Jack now.
Yeah, exactly. So it instantly changed my perspective. And I'm really happy that happened, actually, because what it did was it allowed me to not just jump in thinking I knew everything. Instead, it gave me time to learn a lot of the things that I had no idea I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning today, honestly, because this is real estate.
Yeah.
Like, it changes obviously every day.
Every day as of August 17th.
Yeah, right. So
with obviously running it as a business entrepreneur, but with the, you know, basically the connection of serving people through real estate, homes and everything like that, what's kind of like your focus? You have like such a, I will say, being around you, learning who you are, like your understanding of the mind is very incredible. I also think you geek out over it. So we could probably spend like 45 minutes on the brain. But how have you used that to serve people and communicate to people? Because I think that's half like entrepreneurship is, how do you show up? How do you serve? And how do you communicate to your avatar client or whatever product you're selling?
Yeah.
So take it away.
I'm building...
Take it away, brain doctor.
For it. I'm building something out right now called the Profitable Persuasion Method. And the whole...
Could you set, plug your podcast? So my
No, my podcast is the Profitable Persuasion Podcast. But thank you for plugging it. But the Profitable Persuasion Method, the concept is just the persuasion reimagined. It's this idea of taking the highest priority relationships that you have in your life and figuring out a way to really focus in on service throughout those relationships, how to listen differently, how to respond differently, how to identify people's true value, and how to utilize there's three pillars. There's a paradox of people and purpose. There's a profitable persuasion practice, and there's ultimately performance. So how do you use these three pillars of what's called TPPM and how to to redevelop relationships, how to grow through relationships, because that's what service is.
Mm-hmm.
It's redeveloping relationships. It's serving people through their value diamond, through what they feel is most important, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at sales, it's like ultimately when we're selling, we're connecting.
Right.
Like, we talk a lot in real estate about creating relationships that make people know, like, and trust us. I feel like in real estate, a lot of times people almost act like that is... like, I'm entitled to that.
Right.
Like, I'm not entitled to you know, liking, and trusting me. First off, if I need you to know me, then I better get really aggressive in putting out content that lets you get to actually know me as a person and not just this figurehead. If I need you to like me, then I need to be willing to put out authentic content around me and content that is speaking to what you deem valuable. And if I need to, you to trust me, then I better be knowledgeable. Because if I'm not knowledgeable, then what is there for you to trust? Because I am asking you to allow me to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, serve you for what?
Right.
Like if I don't even know what I am here to do, if I don't know the job, then why would you ever trust me? So from there, my entire focus is to identify what is valuable to you, not what do I deem valuable, because it's not about me. It is about you as the client.
Right.
What is valuable? And once I figure out what you deem valuable, stop thinking about me. Stop thinking about the transactions. Stop thinking about the money.
Yep.
Just think about you. Build a connection with you and your value.
Yeah.
And then at that point, everything's going to work itself out. And there's processes. There's moving people from event to event. There's, you know.
But it's relatable to any kind of entrepreneur journey or business
anything.
Or anything.
Relationships, like in your household. It's anything.
You're like, I practice it on my wife.
I do. I do it on my wife.
He's like, you are doing profitable equation right now.
Yes, absolutely.
I hear you. So with that, where do you see most people in sales? Because let's just say it, we're in the business of sales.
Yep.
Where do you see most people? It's probably just going to be the opposite of what you're obviously launching. But where would you say most people get it wrong in sales?
They're transactional.
Yeah.
I think most people are hyper transactional. And I think that for some people, it's their fault, but the majority of people, it's actually not. And we get a lot of folks that say, well, it's not your fault because you've always been trained this way. I don't think that's the case. I think there's too much knowledge out there for people not to know. I think it's not most people's fault because they're in life. Like when you have to pay your mortgage, it's really, really hard to step away from that particular transaction.
Right.
From just saying, I have to close this deal.
Right.
I need this deal to close.
Right.
Right. But goodness, if you can look at the bigger picture and understand, if you start focusing on the connection over the transaction, you're not just going to close this deal. You're going to be their forever agent.
Yeah.
And when you're my forever agent, I don't mean that you're going to close this deal and then the next house I buy 15 years from now. I mean, you're going to close this deal and you're going to close my three brothers' houses.
Right.
And then my mom's.
Yeah.
And then my cousins. And you're going to close everyone I ever know because I'm going to sell the heck out of you to everyone I ever know.
Mm-hmm.
So my one just turned into 20.
Right.
Versus my one. And then the next one and done.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So with the profitable persuasion, is this something that you are totally making, not saying from scratch, but like.
Well, it is from scratch.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. It's fully developed from me from scratch. It's a full method that it's funny. We were just talking about this. Like my whole life, I've thought differently.
Yeah.
Right. And I've never really figured out how to share it, how to vocalize it, articulate it. That's the word. Yeah. I had a hard time articulating that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Thank you.
Profitable persuasion.
Yeah. And about a year ago, I went on this journey to really figure out, like, how do I properly not only articulate it, but create it in a true method, a true system that can be taught and anyone can use it. And it's gone through this process of and consistent reiterations and it's finally something. It's finally like a one pager. And now I'm going out on the 20th and Phil Jones is a mentor and now a friend of mine that he's been helping me to really build it out even more. On the 20th of September, I'm going back out with him and our goal on the 20th is now how do we take this and turn it into a 2-day workshop?
Right.
Right. It's like, okay, Phil, you have all this now. How do we turn it into a workshop? Mm-hmm. And then from there, how do we turn it into an inner circle? And then this inner circle is going to be a 1-year inner circle that has 4 events attached to it. And it's just
like the layer of layer.
Yeah. It's like, so it turns into all this stuff and it's just, it should be how people ultimately should become how people think naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be second nature thought for people because that's what it is for me. Like you know, part of it, when you think about the profitable persuasion practice is one of the pillars, like how most people have conversations. So there's 4 phases of conversation, listen, understand, ask questions, respond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people do not listen that way. Most people actually listen to respond.
To answer.
Yeah. That is it.
Like I just did now.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to listen to know how to answer.
So yeah, that's how most people. But if you listen entirely to actually listen, what is the sole purpose of listening? Just to listen. Because if I listen to everything that you say, then you'll actually give me every tool I need.
Yeah.
And then I just pocket the tools.
Yeah.
Now what's next? So listen, understand. Now I got to make sure I understand. So what do I need to do to make sure I understand?
Repeat and reaffirm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to constantly repeat. So when you said this, did you mean this?
Yeah.
Okay. So just confirming this. Okay, great. Now I'm going to ask questions, because even though I asked questions, those were meant to ensure I understood, but now I need to ask questions that
to go deeper.
Yeah. You see, look at you. You got it.
Yeah.
And now I need.
I co-write this.
That you could.
No. I co-wrote it. No, he's kidding.
No. Well, you will co-write the book. Yeah. There you go. So, and then we need to respond.
Yeah.
But the key to responding is to make sure you recap when you respond. You make sure the person understands that you understood, and you take them to the next event. So now you're never left hanging as the person I'm talking with.
Yeah.
So now you know that I truly heard you. Because if we're looking to build trust, you want to feel heard.
Yeah.
You know that I truly heard you. You know that I understood you. Because knowing that I heard you is one thing. It feels good. Knowing that I understand you means we're connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, damn, that person, like, they're the one. Like, yeah. I felt like something about them.
It's different. Right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just trying to get to A to the N, which is always like, yes. What's the answer?
Like, yeah. Because when I leave you, you should feel like there's just something that we can't articulate,
yeah.
Right? But we know it's there.
Yeah.
Right. And then ultimately, when we leave a client, because we were talking about sales, like when we leave a client, they should never feel like, okay, I guess I'll hear from them later. No, you should know exactly when you will hear from me.
Yeah.
So that's why we take someone from event to event to event. And the thing is this, I always tell people, when you're taking someone from one event to the next event, when you're going through a recap, if anything happens in between that process, we start over. Like, I will never end a conversation with a client that doesn't end with a recap and an event. So if you say, oh, okay, so just to make sure this, yes, that's right. So just one more time, let's just quickly recap.
Yeah.
And then, okay, anything comes up, the kid yells in the background, honey, I'll be there in a second. Okay, great, you got it? Yep. Let's just quickly recap one more time.
Yes.
Anything that happens, recap, event, until we hang up the phone. So it's just this, because I want to leave you with something.
Yeah.
And I want you to be left the way I want you to feel.
Right. So from implementing probably what you've had in you for so long, and now you have a name, a title, a concept, let's just call it that. And starting from that, how would you say your sales, because for real estate, we'll just be used as that as the practical sense, is how would you say your sales have changed from it? Like, do you kind of remember distinct difference in your business where you actually added your, you know, profitable persuasion?
I think that this is something that I've always done. I just didn't know I was doing it.
Yeah.
I didn't have like the actual breakdown.
So you are, got it. Yeah.
I think that probably the cool part is when I'm training, I'm actually able to say, oh, see, and that's TPPM. I think also when my team uses it, it's super freaking cool to see my team actually use it. I think that there's different levels to it.
Yeah.
And what is really unique is to watch some of my higher level agents, like my agent leadership team, use it at a higher level versus, especially if they're training some of our newer agents versus my newer agents just using, if they're role playing and they're using body language, which we train a lot in TPPM on body language. And they'll just, instead of just doing standard role playing, they'll use some of the tips in body language. But they're not getting too advanced, but they shouldn't be getting too advanced in it, right?
Yeah.
They're just newer.
Yeah.
So I think that all plays a role. But then the thing that I love most is a lot of times we'll go in my actual office and I'll be on a call and I'll ask the person to hold on and I'll tell agents, if anyone wants to hear this, just come in and I'll put the call on speaker and I'll just, no one know, like I'm just doing my client call.
Yeah.
And then we'll recap it. And then we'll go through and I'll say, well, this is why I did this and this is how I did this. An example is I had an agent come to a listing appointment with me last week and the person said, okay, I'm gonna look at all this and then I'm gonna do XYZ on Sunday. And they never signed the listing agreement. And then when we were done, we were leaving. And the agent said, I said, what did you think about it? And he said, they told me, I said, well, what do you think could have been better? And he said, well, she could have signed the listing agreement. I said, what are you talking about? She signed it. And he's like, no, she didn't. I said, brother, you weren't paying attention. She signed it. She told me she met with two other agents. She saved me for last. She told me she intentionally saved me for last because she wanted to know how to tell the other two agents that she already had relationships with how they were, she was not going to work with them. She told me that she needed to read the documents on paper and she didn't want to waste my time reading them. And she asked me if she can, if I can send them in a tool that would allow her to sign it online. Well, guess what? Sunday, she never signed it. Monday morning, she sent me a message. I'm really sorry. I got back super late Sunday. I just signed the documents.
Yeah.
Like I said, she signed it, but you got to read between the lines. You got to understand why people, and getting transactional again.
All he was focused was on the signed contract. Yes. And you had like the whole story of
exactly.
AV, CD. Yeah.
Yeah. Like move past the transaction and be human.
Yeah.
Like understand people have lives. And like she'd have done all this on Friday when we met. But, or on Thursday when we met, but on Friday, she was going to St. Michael's with her daughter on a sailboat for the weekend. Like, mm-hmm. Let her be with her daughter.
Yeah. Like, without signing a contract.
She wanted to be with her daughter. That's where her mind was.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I love this. I mean, if somebody is like, okay, I'm not in real estate, but I have a business that this could be practical for. I guess I'm just throwing your website out.
Yeah.
Do you have a website? Like, what's kind of like a process absolutely. That somebody could connect with on it.
So you can find me on, the best places would be Instagram at Phil Gurtis or the Profitable Persuasion Method, either Instagram account. The other one would be going to philgurtis.com or the profitablepersuasionmethod.com. You can sign up for our email list. I think the best part about this is it doesn't really matter. We're getting, this entire place is getting an Amber Alert. I think the key thing to note here is it doesn't matter if you're in business, in real estate, in any other business, or you just want to
communicate better. Yeah.
You want to be a better person. You want to figure out how to work better in your family, in your marriage, or with friends, or
you become a marriage therapist at the end.
Not my goal, but you get it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You want
it's practical for anybody.
High priority relationships in life.
Yeah.
Like you want to develop those and take them to new levels.
Yeah.
That's what this is for.
Well, I love it. I've been ending it with these questions since we didn't dive too much into passive income, but I think this was so much more well spent. You're in Maryland. Obviously from interviewing a bunch of realtors over the next, couple episodes, there's a lot of movement. So where are people coming from and why are they moving to Maryland?
Yep.
What's your average price point?
Yep.
And last one is, if I was to visit Maryland, what would I do? Like, you have to see this.
Yeah. I think that, so number one.
To recap.
to recap and then take it to the next event. First question was what? I'm sorry.
First question is, who's coming to Maryland? Like feeder markets, like why are people moving to Maryland?
I think people are moving to Maryland from, obviously DC is right around the corner. I think a lot of people want to get out of that hustle of DC. And they want to move. You're working in DC. You want a little more quiet. You want to get out of that Potomac, DC, Northern Virginia area. You're moving south. I think that's a big one. A lot of people from New York, Connecticut are moving into Maryland. I don't think people from south of Maryland are moving typically north. Average price point is about $450,000, believe it or not. I think people think it's a much higher. It's not.
I think people get that with California when I'm like, our average is $389,000. They're like, a million? I'm like, nope, I wish.
Yeah.
Nope.
We do have, expensive homes, right? Yeah. We have those seven-figure homes, but that's not our average. Our norm is $450,000.
Yeah.
And then you come to Maryland. I think the unique thing about Maryland is this. We have mountains. We have rivers. We have ocean. We have bays. We have all of it. If you were going to go somewhere, I'm partial. I live in Annapolis. It's the capital of Maryland. But you got to understand, Annapolis is also the first capital of the United States.
Hmm.
So it's historic. We have cobblestone roads. We have brick paver roads. We have buildings that are 200 years old still. And it's all on the water.
Yeah.
So if you love history and you love water, come to Annapolis, like get on a sailboat, get on a powerboat, really enjoy what it is to be on the water in Annapolis. And you're going to get a great feel for what Maryland is. It's a beautiful, beautiful state.
Yeah.
I love the spring and the summer. So that's when I would come out.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for popping on this podcast.
Yeah.
I love everything that you're doing. As you said earlier, people want to connect with you, Phil Gurtis, philgurtis.com. And if you're in Maryland, hit him up.
Hit me up. Let's go out on the boat.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you have a boat?
I have a boat.
Okay. I'll be there. All right.
Everyone but you. You're welcome to come out.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.